Why does it get called hate speech when it's really just a discussion about right and wrong? Well, you're probably a bigot just for asking. Hello and welcome again to Catholic Answers Focus. This week we wrap up our three-part conversation with Carla Broussard about arguments in favor of relativism. Relativism being that kind of cultural assumption, a cultural, attitude that often mitigates us having actual, real conversations that get somewhere on issues involving all kinds of things, most particularly probably moral questions. And they leave us with a less and less reasonable society. So addressing them is urgent business. And Carlo is just the guy to help us do that urgent business. Hi, Carlo. Thanks for doing this again.
Hey, Si. Thanks for having me, buddy.
So number one was arguments for relativism. Number two was arguments to stop interference.
Right.
And here, now we get to three arguments. That are what we call mean-spirited arguments.
Right. It's the assertion that, hey, Carlo, if you say or do this, you're just being mean, right?
Yeah.
And it shuts down rational discussion. And it takes on a variety of forms. So it could be, well, you're hateful, right? If you say somebody's belief is false or their behavior is immoral. Or to do that, you're being a bigot, Carlo, or you're being intolerant, or you're being judgmental. So it's the underlying theme of all of these cultural attacks, right, or assertions, it's just you're just flat out being mean, right?
Yeah.
And then it's parsed out in a variety
in
of ways, right? But I think that's the general thrust, that you're being mean, Carlo, in making judgments about somebody's belief and it being false and somebody's behavior being immoral. So,
all right. So let's break them down. First
yep.
one, hate speech.
Yep. So the idea is, well, Carlo, it's hate speech to say that somebody's belief is false or their behavior is immoral. Now, keep in mind, all of these, one way to respond, if the person is a relativist, well, then the moment they make any of these assertions, they're implying that there's at least one absolute moral truth. Namely, that we ought not to be hateful. We ought not to be a bigot. We ought not to be intolerant. We ought not to be judgmental, right?
Right.
So if the person is indeed claiming to be a relativist, all of these assertions are self-defeating for his relativistic worldview. But I could imagine somebody not being a relativist, right? Who maybe is sort of touching the borders of relativism, but say, yeah, there are some absolute truths, and then make these assertions. So how do we respond to the hate speech one? Well, I think the problem here, Si, is that it confuses negative evaluation of a belief or behavior with hate speech. Hate speech is not, I have a negative view of this belief or that behavior. Hate speech is a speech or a gesture that expresses the malicious desire for grave harm as an end in and of itself.
Okay.
That doesn't constitute a negative evaluation of a belief or a behavior. Like, I can make a judgment that belief doesn't conform to reality. That behavior is not good for you, man. There's nothing hateful in these judgments that I'm making about the way the world is and about practical matters, right? Nor does it express any desire for you to experience harm as an end in and of itself. So
right.
In no way am I being hateful for having some negative evaluation for a particular belief or a behavior. Now, think about this. Here's another way you can respond and say, well, wait a minute. If it's hateful to make a negative evaluation of a belief or a behavior, well, then all negative evaluations of belief and behavior is going to be hateful. So if I make an evaluation that pedophilia is evil and bad and immoral,
right.
Am I being hateful for making that judgment? Of course not. That's absurd, right?
Notice
that it confuses negative evaluation of a belief or behavior with hate speech. And then, of course, I mean, you know, we talked about this in previous segments. If I'm trying to make you aware of what is true,
mm-hmm.
what is good, what is beautiful, that's the very opposite of hate. Indeed, that's love, because I'm willing your good. And to will the good of another is the essence of love.
Okay, so but the, we don't stop there, Carlo. No. We don't stop with hate speech. What about the bigotry argument?
Right.
And this is different.
This is different, but very similar. Because our responses are similar, because notice in this case...
Well, if I may say, one of the qualities of this kind of relativistic thinking is it gets a little mushy. Things just overlap, and these phrases are not used precisely. They're used to have an effect than to make a point.
Yeah, so you could ask the question with regard to first, well, what do you mean by hate speech, right? So concerning this one, well, what do you mean by bigotry? Do you mean simply making a judgment that somebody's belief is false or their behavior is immoral, right?
Yeah.
If that's what you mean, well, then the same line of response is similar to the first. Well, does that mean we can't make any judgments whatsoever about this belief being false or that behavior being immoral? And that's absurd, right? So what we want to try to point out to this person is, listen, bigotry is not having a negative opinion about a belief or about necessarily having a negative opinion about a belief or about a behavior. But bigotry is having a negative opinion based on emotion rather than reason.
Yes.
Unwilling to give a fair hearing to the opposing views and engaging bigotry is engaging in insulting, abusive, or highly critical language, right? Rather than reasoned debate. You might say, as Jimmy Akin has articulated, it's an unjust discrimination without taking account of the facts. To discriminate good from bad, true from false, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you unjustly discriminate, right? If you just are going based on emotion, you're wrong and I haven't given you a fair hearing.
Yeah.
I'm going based solely on emotion and not engaging in reasoned, rational discussion. That's bigotry. It is not bigotry to make a judgment, this belief is false, that behavior is contrary to human good. If I'm doing it with reason, if I'm doing it based upon evidence, and if I'm doing it in a way that I'm actually willing to hear the opposing view,
right,
and the reasons why somebody else might think that belief is true, or that behavior is moral when I think it's immoral. So very often what we find, Cy, is that rather than us being the bigot for making judgments about atheism not conforming to reality or same-sex sexual activity being immoral, rather than us being the bigot, it's often ones who are hollering at us, saying we're the bigots, who are being the bigots. Because when we make a judgment that same-sex sexual activity is immoral, we give reasons for that. It's contrary to our human good. It's contrary to the nature of human sexuality. It violates our nature itself and thus cannot contribute to human flourishing. And we do that in a rational, calm, reasoned way. But very often when we're critiqued for that, it's based solely on emotion without reasoned argumentation. And thus, that's the bigotry.
And is there an implied self-contradiction in the argument you're a bigot?
Yes, it's inconsistent with itself, right?
Yeah.
Because the accuser, if they mean by bigotry, we shouldn't make a negative evaluation of a belief.
If that's
what they mean by bigotry, well, then they would be inconsistent with the application of the principle. Because in as much as you would tell me, Carlo, you're being a bigot for making a negative evaluation of somebody's belief or behavior, well, guess what? You're making a negative evaluation of my belief that I can make judgments about people's beliefs and behaviors.
Got it. Okay. So what about the I missed one here. The hate speech argument. I did not miss one. I'm on the right. The intolerance argument.
That's right.
That's the one I wanted to get to next. I apologize, Carlo. The intolerance argument.
Yeah, so once again, I would respond and say, okay, well, what do you mean by intolerance? And normally what people mean when they make this claim is that I'm not being tolerant for accepting everyone's beliefs and opinions as equal and valid, right? Okay. First of all, here's how there's a several ways in which we can go about doing this, but let's just run with your belief that that's what tolerance is. Okay, we should accept everyone's beliefs as equal and valid. Okay, if that's what you mean by tolerance, Cy, well then why don't you tolerate my belief that we don't have to accept everyone's opinions as equal and valid?
Oops.
So you see how, in as much as you say, Carlo, we need to tolerate everyone's beliefs and opinions as equal and valid, right? Well, okay. Well, including mine.
That we don't.
That we don't have to accept everybody's belief as equal and valid. And but of course, you're going to say, well, no, you can't do that, Carlo. You're wrong for doing that. You have to accept everyone's beliefs as equal. Well, you're not tolerating my beliefs. So you're being just as intolerant as you're saying, I'm being intolerant.
Right.
Secondly, if we concede your understanding of tolerance to be accept everybody's beliefs as equal and valid, well, I would say, well, I can't do that because in light of the principle of non-contradiction, I can't accept two contradictory positions as being true at the same time. So God exists, God doesn't exist. Well, guess what? I can't tolerate that both of those propositions are true.
Yes, right.
Because something cannot both be and not be in the same respect at the same place and time, right? So I cannot accept everybody's beliefs and opinions as equal and valid because some beliefs and opinions contradict each other, right?
Right. So they can't all be
true. They can't all be true.
So now you're just making it's kind of arbitrary then.
That's right. And so I would wrap it up in saying, listen, Cy, tolerance is not accepting everybody's beliefs as equal and valid. Tolerance is, I'm going to allow you to express your belief and your opinion. I'm going to tolerate that without the threat of physical coercion. I'm going to respect your right to do that. Your dignity, your as a human being and being a free individual or rational creature to make your judgments about reality. And I'm going to allow you to do that without the threat of physical coercion, even though I disagree with you. Even though I think your judgment is false and my judgment is true. So notice we're slapped with the label of intolerance for saying somebody's belief is wrong, right? But yet saying somebody's belief is wrong necessarily belongs to the essence of tolerance. Because you cannot tolerate somebody that you don't disagree with, right? It's like we're both relativists, I don't tolerate your relativism. I don't tolerate people's beliefs I agree with. I tolerate people's beliefs I disagree with. But disagreement necessarily involves a judgment that their belief doesn't conform to reality, but my belief does. So once we expose the absurdity of their understanding of tolerance, then we can follow up with the true understanding of tolerance. And I think that might settle their emotional response, right? Because they no longer have to fear, right? Because they immediately think, well, if you make a truth claim, then that means you're going to physically coerce me to believe what you believe.
Yeah.
No. There's a difference between making a truth claim about reality or even practical matters, such as an ethical claim, and coercing somebody to conform to that claim. We can draw a distinction between those two things.
What about this one, though? Because I do think this is the big one maybe in this category is it's just judgmental. You're being judgmental.
And this is the one we get often. And here's the insight here. If we make a claim, well, that behavior, Cy, what you're doing, you need to stop. It's not good for you, brother. It's a sin. It's immoral. It offends God. It's not good and healthy for you as a human being. You say, well, don't judge me. You don't know me, right?
Right.
But notice that statement. Notice the assumption you're working on there is that you perceive me to be judging your soul.
Your person.
Like right. You're a bad guy and you perceive me to be judging your soul to be condemned, right? But notice we can draw a distinction between making judgments about a belief not conforming to reality or a behavior not conforming to the good of the human being and judging the character of the person believing those things or doing those things and judging the soul, right? As theists and as Christians, more particularly, we do not claim that we have a right to judge a person's soul. Only God has access to whether or not, to the subjective dimension, whether or not the person has full knowledge and full deliberate consent and what he or she is doing, right?
Right.
So we draw a distinction between the act itself and the person's culpability for the act. When I say, Sy, what you're doing is not good for you, it's wrong, I don't know whether you're – that's not a judgment about your culpability.
Yeah, that's this hard distinction for people to make, I think.
That's a judgment about the behavior and right. whether or not it's good for you to do as a human being. Only God knows whether you're really culpable for that and thus are guilty or not. That's not our place to judge. That's God's place to judge. So the common phrase, right, that we've always heard, hate the sin, love the sinner.
Yeah.
And that embodies the distinction, that expresses very well the distinction between recognizing an act to be wrong or a belief to be false, right? An act to be immoral and a belief to be false, and the person's culpability for that false belief or for that immoral action. Only God has access to the heart and the inner workings of the mind, so only God knows if you're truly guilty or not. That's not our place to judge. We judge the external. We leave God to be the judge of the internal movements of the heart. And I think if we can express that to people and articulate that to people, well, then they may be more inclined to allow us, without, you know, the emotional response, to make a critical judgment about a belief or a behavior, while at the same time recognizing, hey, we can all still get along in a civilized society.
Amen. Amen. Carlo Broussard, really enjoyed these three conversations with you.
I think I enjoyed it more, Sy.
Just for the listener, if you'd want to know more or hear more from Carlo on relativism and helping you, you know, keep pondering these things to know how to address them, whether they arise in your own thinking or in the thinking of people you are in conversation with, Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking is Carlo's CD on the topic. You can get that at shop.catholic.com. And his book is Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Did you have something that you look like you wanted to say? Another thing, Carlo?
I was just going to say thank you, Sy.
Oh, well, thank you, Carlo. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Focus.